Good to see this number out this morning. Good to have some visiting with us, the Stanleys and others, and we're thankful that you've come our way. Appreciate so much your presence this morning. And if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, and be added to the family of God. This morning, if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter. And when you come to the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter, I want to read verse 18 for the thought of our study. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. The first thing that I would like for us to remember this morning is today is the Lord's Day. And I want us to understand that every first day of the week is important because it belongs to the Lord. It is set aside so that we may worship the King of Kings, that we may glorify the God of heaven. And even though there are other days that man may specify as special, this is special because God has ordained it. However, we also have set aside a day to honor mothers. And I hope we do not neglect mothers until a special day. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is look at a man's wife. The man is identified as Noah, and yet his wife's name is never mentioned. I want us to think about that it's not difficult to read about Noah in the Bible. You can take your Bible and turn to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew and the 24th chapter, and you will find that in Matthew 24 that Jesus speaks about Noah, beginning in verse 37, when he said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came, and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Then if you take your New Testament, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 5 that Peter said, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Then take your Bible and look in the Hebrew letter for just a moment, and notice that the Hebrew writer has something to say in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it said, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now then, I see that God's Word talks about Noah. And Noah is identified and specified in both the Old and the New Testament. But have you ever thought about his wife? Have you ever considered that she's mentioned four times? We read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18 where she is mentioned. But then take your Bible in Genesis chapter 7 and look in verse 7. "So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Then drop down to verse 13. "On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son were with them, entered the ark." Then drop down to chapter 8 and look in verse 18. "So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him." Have you ever noticed her name is never given? Here is a woman that was married to Noah, and though Noah is often mentioned, her name is never brought out. And yet, my friend, she is still an outstanding person in the divine Word of God. Some people have said that animals get more attention than Noah's wife. But there are some things that we can know about Noah's wife. And there are some things that we can take and make application to our life. First of all, I want you to think about that she was a mother. And I want you to think about that she was raising her children in a very ungodly age. Back in Genesis 16 and verse 18, you'll see that he talks about the sons. I want you to note that they had three sons. And here she was raising them, but notice in the environment in which she raised them. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, the Bible says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I want you to think about that she reared her children in the most ungodly age, where the mind of the man was upon evil continually. His thoughts was bent towards that which was ungodly. They were living in the very filth of sin. They did not trust in God. They did not believe the Word of God because Noah preached to them and they would heed not the warning. And yet notice that Noah and his wife raised their children in this ungodly age, and they had faith enough to obey God and get into the ark when God was going to send the flood. There's a lot to be said about Noah's leadership, but my friend, there's a lot to be said about Noah's wife who continued to raise her children in the most ungodly age. But secondly, I want you to note she was a woman of understanding and patience. We do not read anywhere where she complained that she was in Noah's shadow. You know, there are a lot of people today that would complain and say, you know, the only reason Noah is who he is because I helped him be that way and my name should be mentioned. But this woman showed humility. This woman showed that she loved her husband, she loved her children, and most importantly, she loved her Lord, and she was not so concerned about receiving glory for herself as in giving glory to God. And I want you to consider, my friend, she probably endured ridicule just as Noah. And no doubt she supported him in the building of the ark. And I've often wondered, was she ever really discouraged all those years Noah preached and nobody heeded his message? And I've often wondered, if she ever got low and depressed? As she looked out at this world and she thought, I'm bringing my children up in the most ungodly circumstances. And when I think of Noah's wife, I recognize one thing, that this was a woman that supported her husband and raised her children and loved her children. But I want you to think about a third thing. When you think about Noah's wife, though she endured trials and tribulations by the ungodly age in which she lived, think about the joy she had in Genesis chapter 8. After the flood was over, you remember the flood started, she got into the ark with her husband, her sons and daughter-in-laws got into the ark, and when the flood came, they were safe because they were where God told them to be. But what a joy when the ark rested and the flood waters were gone. They sacrificed to God and they saw the rainbow, the covenant that God had made with Noah. And no doubt she witnessed that rainbow. And what a joy on her behalf. When you go back to Genesis 8, you remember that they got out of the ark in verse 18. And then when you look down beginning at verse 20, you'll find where God began to talk to them about that He's not going to destroy the world again. And notice that He said that Noah built an ark and built an altar, and notice that he offered up burnt sacrifices and the Lord looked upon him and notice God at that time blessed him beginning in chapter 9, verse 1. But now then, I want to take that. And I want us to make application to our life and the lessons yours. The first thing I want us to think about is in the year 2019, there is great difficulty at times to be a godly mother. We live in a day and time where there is sin on every hand, where people are embracing the very things God has condemned, where people are becoming agnostic and atheistic towards God's Word. They're indifferent to what God says. They've changed God's Word to fit their lifestyle instead of changing their lifestyle to fit God's Word. And it's a very ungodly age, and mothers and fathers have a very serious responsibility. And I think about mothers today who are trying to raise their children in an ungodly age. And I'll tell you something, my friend. It's not just mothers. I want us to understand fathers have that responsibility. But as we think about mothers today, I want to think about mothers who pray. I want to know, mothers, how often do you pray for your children? How often, grandmothers, do you pray for your grandchildren? How often do we pray that they will live right in an ungodly age and that they will be faithful to God even if it means they be persecuted for the sake of Christ? Secondly, sometimes we have mothers and women whose names aren't always out there, but they preach some of the best sermons by the life they live. And I want you to understand, my friend, that sometimes there are a lot of people who get a lot of recognition because they're up in the public, but that does not mean you don't go unnoticed. People observe you and watch you, and young people often look up to you. And I want us to understand, all the ladies, that you have a great influence on people. Sometimes I'm fearful that we have neglected to let women see the influence they have in the lives of others. And they have the influence of helping and supporting their husband or supporting other people by helping young people, by being the right example, by teaching classes for the young, and all the work that women can do. In this ungodly age, sometimes it's easy for both men and women to sit back and say, you know, it's so ungodly, I'm going to let somebody else do it. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for people who may not even have children who show interest in children. And they teach classes. And they're willing to take a risk and go back and help the young men and young ladies. And I want us to think about the people who are doing the will of God in an ungodly age. But mothers, I've got a question for you. Not only how often do you pray for your children, but how often do you encourage them to come to worship? Now, I recognize they come to an age of accountability where they may be moved on and moved out and you can't force them. And I understand you can't force anyone to be right. But I'll tell you, my friend, we can always let them know we're concerned about their soul. Now, I'm not talking about always nagging them, but I'm browbeating them. But I'm telling you, you can let them know you love them. I'll never forget. One time, my father and I weren't attending services. There'd been a problem at the local church. And my mother had even stopped for a while, but she came in and looked at me and my father on a Sunday, and she said, I tell you what, y'all can go to hell if you want to. I'm going back to the Lord. I want to ask y'all something. Are you going to be so dedicated to God that your children look up and say, one thing I know, they love God? But I want you to think about another thing. The joy of being a mother. Sometimes we look at the difficulties, but look at the joy when they're babies. We got some babies out here and they're so beautiful. I see some of you can't help but smile at them. And it's a joy to look out and see babies. And then we got the tots. And sometimes the tots may frustrate us because they run and do things. But remember, they're children. I know we can calm them down and tell them not to run over the older people. But remember, they're little. Sometimes we think that, and as I said in the bulletin, that when we raised our children didn't act up. I want to tell you, I've been preaching long enough to see that most children act up sometime when there's preaching going on. And I want to tell you one thing. When I was young, I acted up. Sometimes I thought those long-winded preachers never would hush up. And my mama would have to pinch me and say, sit still. And you know what sometimes we do? Sometimes what we do is we look around at parents who are trying to bring their children up right, and instead of encouraging them, we say, well, if it was my child. Let me tell you something about that. Two things. You ever want to make somebody mad? Tell them how to raise their children. Secondly, the Bible tells us how to raise the children. Let's follow that instead. I've heard people say, back in my day, well, my friend, we're not back in your day. We're trying to bring children up today to live like they need to live. I'll never forget a man one time throwing off on mine. My boys aren't perfect. My boys make mistakes. My boys say things they shouldn't say and do things they shouldn't do. But I'll tell you one thing, when I get home, I deal with it. But I'll tell you one thing, I'll tell my boys, and I'll tell them here right now, as long as they live under their daddy's roof, they're going to be going to worship. But there's something else. When they become teens. Oh, when they become teens. But if you ever thought, my friend, that's a time that they still look up to you. And that's a time you can bond with them. And that's a time that you can teach them. And when you see the joy of them deciding to listen to your teaching and to see them develop their own faith in God and to witness them choosing God's ways over the world's ways and watching them become lights in a dark world, and the day that you see them baptized into Christ and they are faithful to Christ, and you think about that they're safe in the Father's arms. Have you ever thought about what a joy it is? Now, for some, I recognize your children are wayward, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. That's got to be a great pain. I know that from my own family. But I'll tell you what you do if your children are wayward. You keep setting the right example. You keep praying. You keep doing the right thing. Because I'll tell you what a lot of parents do. They get so discouraged their children aren't living right, they compromise the faith. I'll tell you, don't lose your soul because of the fact that your children aren't living right. You be the right example, and maybe they will come back to the Lord. One last thing in the lesson, Jesus. We don't want them to worry so much about the rainbow, even though it's important to remember that covenant when we see it. But we want them to see Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, notice that it said, but we see Jesus. Parents, the job we have is to point our children to Jesus. And what we need to do is when we see them living right and trying to do right and they're studying and they're working, is to encourage them. And when they're not doing right, we go out of our way to teach them that we love them and we're concerned about them and we're worried about their soul. There are young people here that I am very concerned about their soul. I pray for their soul. I pray that they make their life right. And if I'm doing it, I know their parents are. Mothers have a great responsibility. You may never have your name in a book, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're the type of mother that leads and devotes and trains, you'll always have the adoration of your child. I never thought my mother would die as young as she did. I always thought she would live to be old. But one thing I'm so thankful for is that in the short years that she had on this earth, her goal was to teach her children, God comes first. Even on her deathbed, sending me to preach, and dying before I can even get back home because she's concerned about the souls of others. That's the kind of woman who's dedicated to God and the kind of mother that is needed today. And if your mother brought you up, you may not appreciate them being strict on you and teaching you the Word of God. One day you will. And be thankful for them. Because not everybody has a mother who's done that. If you're here and you're not a child of God, Isaiah 66 talks about the fact that God comforts us as a mother comforts her child. I would want to be in the arms of God. And if you need to be baptized this morning, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.